On this week's Northeast Newscast podcast, we sit down with Mark Morales, president of the Sheffield Neighborhood Association. Born of the old Sheffield steel mill with its huge work sheds and hot furnaces that once flanked the eastern end of Independence Avenue as it traversed the Blue River, the mill once employed upwards of 7,000 people in its heyday. The Sheffield neighborhood is bounded on the south by 12th Street, on the east by the Kansas City Southern Rail Line, on the north by Independence Avenue, and on the west of Hardesty Avenue. Some of the better-known assets of Sheffield are the old Hardesty Federal Complex that's currently slated for redevelopment. The site of the old steel mill is now home to Custom Truck One Source, and Sheffield Place is the former site of the old Norval E YMCA. So join us this week, won't you? Sit down, grab a beverage, and listen to our conversation with Sheffield Neighborhood Association President Mark Morales.
This episode of the Northeast Newscast was made possible by Shemeika's Online Market in Delhi.
This week on the Northeast Newscast podcast, we have the opportunity to chat with Mark Morales, who is the president of the Sheffield Neighborhood Association. Mark, you are a lifelong Northeaster, and you've been president of Sheffield for, do we even want to say?
Probably
a while.
Yeah, high teens.
Mark, welcome. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Give us an idea of what's going on in Sheffield these days. Just give us a broad overview of what you got going on in your neighborhood.
Very good. Thank you again for the opportunity. In the Sheffield neighborhood, we've got some good projects going on. We, of course, we enhance the mural about every 3-4 years down to 9th and Hardesty. That mural has been around since 9/11. People, community-driven people from the Northeast area got together. We worked with an artist, Diane Dickerson, and we just wanted to spruce up that secluded area.
That's at Overpass, right?
Yes.
And you're on that mural is mostly, it's on the east side, or does it take up both sides of that 9th and Hardesty Overpass?
You know, it's a funny story. We were just going to stay on the east side of the mural, but I had volunteers one day. I wasn't there. And they wrapped the mural around the corner, north and south, on Hardesty. So that was the best, per se, mistake they made. You know, it just made us more work, but we really enhanced that bridge underneath there.
And you got, and I came through there one time. It really does look good. And it's a lot of red, white, and blue, patriotic. And I came through there one time, and fire was down there. They were cleaning it all off. That kind of spoke a lot to neighborhood pride.
Now, that is true. Yeah, we, back in the day, we had all the community come together. The fire department came down and washed the wall down. All we have to do is ask them. We had all the stakeholders provide resources, paint. Our old friend Jerry Knight used to provide food for all the volunteers. And the volunteers were kids. They came from Northeast High School, Northeast Middle School, people from the neighborhood. So it was a community-driven project. We try to enhance that all the time. And we do have cleanups down there. And later on, I can talk about some of those upcoming cleanups.
And you got that, just to kind of give everybody an idea, your boundaries, south boundary, a lot of people get confused by this. Your south boundary is 12th Street, correct?
That's correct.
And then east is Hardesty. West is, no, wait a minute. West is Hardesty.
Yes.
And then north, Independence Avenue, and then on the east, you've got the Kansas City Southern, the main rail line there in the Blue River Valley. That's what your kind of boundaries are.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you got, how long is, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys were founded kind of during that, in the mid-1980s, when the big neighborhood association push came through and Skerritt Renaissance was founded. A bunch of others in Northeast were founded. And that's when you got your sign, right?
Yeah, no, that's correct. Yeah, it's like 77. I've got some old paperwork from the past predecessors who formed the Sheffield Neighbors Association. And it was the Carroll family, good friends of ours, Dennis Carroll, his mom and dad, Gene, and Richard Carroll. And
you forgot one. You'll come back and haunt you. Mary Therese.
Mary Therese, of course.
Her and Ruth Ann. Yeah, let me tell you.
Mary Therese, yeah. We, back in the day when there was work going on, actually, I'll back up even more. When our family first moved into the Northeast area, the Sheffield neighborhood, it was the Carroll family who reached out to us to help us out any way we could use resources. They got us involved in the neighborhood association. I came up with a good idea one time, and I was just hooked. Mary Therese, getting involved in the neighborhood association.
Let's just put that. You weren't hooked. She hooked you. And that was the end of that.
That is true. That is true. No, I was very fortunate to have them as mentors, their family in general, working together to solve problems in the neighborhood.
And when was that, Mark? Your family has been here, I mean, decades.
Yeah, we moved in the Sheffield neighborhood 61 years ago. We're at 10th and Topping. We've been there 61 years. And actually, my parents just celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary. And my dad proposed to my mom outside the Wexwerder Community Center back in 55 when he was training as a 112-pound champion in boxing on the gloves. So we're longtime stakeholders here in Sheffield.
And we are happy to have you, let me tell you. Let's talk about assets. You've got a huge asset on your western border in the form of the old Hardesty Federal Complex. Tell us a little bit about how excited you are for that.
No, absolutely. Yeah, we do have on the western end the government building, the old GSA, the Quartermaster Depot building. And it was kind of in an area that none of the neighborhood associations had claimed to, per se, because it was a government building with such a huge, massive building. And back in the day, we would see all the activity there, all the military. They would store all their artillery stuff. They were the record center, all their equipment. And we used to look out our window. We would see them there. And they had a big field down there, and the field was filled in. But before the field was filled in, on the other side of the railroad track, there was no border cross track down there.
Really? On the south side, there were Sheffield Family Life's parking lot is?
That is correct, yeah.
Wow. There's
no motorcycle track, and we used to hang out down in that field all the time and see people riding motorcycles. But a lot of the guys who organized that, they worked with Donnell Suzuki back in the day. He lived right at the corner of 9th and Topping. So that was kind of like an outlet for his kids.
Right.
And then Sheffield Family Life Center come in. They expanded across the street on Winter Road. Mm-hmm. And put in that parking lot. It was the best development we've had because the area is utilized. But back to the government building, the GSA, that is such a massive building that one of my brothers worked for GSA. He was the facilities manager there, and they always got a bad grade because the building was unoccupied. There was nothing going on there.
Right.
And then he left from the facilities management to the environmental side. But the GSA, they do have some challenges at their building there when it comes to environmental problems. And they've been very adamant. They've been getting it taken care of. It looks like they've slowed down a little bit, but those environmental problems do kind of concern some of us.
Well, we talked with Jonathan Arnold here a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he is slated to get that green light in June or July. They're going to close on the property. And then he's hoping to break ground and have all of that remediation done. He's hoping to break ground sometime in September, October. So it looks like that project. And that's, we're talking, what, 800, what do you tell me, 800 plus affordable housing units that are going to come into that corner on a multi-use kind of development, retail housing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's huge. That's huge for that complex.
No, it is. You know, we're all about adaptive reuse in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, but I kind of want to back up, too, with the Sheffield neighborhood. Back in the day, we had the old Henry Clay School. It was at 7th and Newton, in between Newton and Ewing. And back in the day, the Sheffield neighborhood, the neighborhood association was organized then because they had concerns about Henry Clay turning into a halfway house.
Right.
Back in 77. So the neighborhood association was very concerned about that, a halfway house into the old neighborhood. And then the developers that they were working with, first it was going to be apartments, senior citizens, then they decided it was going to be a halfway house. We had concerns about that because the developers pulled out.
Right.
You know, so that was one of our big concerns then back in the day. And I don't know if it's come full circle, but we're excited to see some new development, but still some of the neighborhood association members, we still have some concerns, like when it comes to the 12th and Hardesty, low to moderate income neighborhood. I think it's the Green Leaf Village, right? At 12th.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
There's 200 units there. And there was a lot of homicide back in the day. We worked with the Northeast News, Michael, you guys, back in 2020, I believe it was, where we did an assessment of all the homicides in the neighborhood.
Right.
And all the homicides were centered around 12th and Hardesty, the low to moderate income neighborhood. It's a massive area, a lot of buildings, people coming in and out of the buildings, people experiencing homelessness going in there. And it was just hard to provide oversight of that area.
It's time to take a break to thank our sponsors. Shemeika's Online Market in Delhi, offering catering and nationwide shipping at shemeikasonline.com. Find their new deli at 16th and Swift in North Kansas City. Shemeika's, where customers become friends and friends become family.
From classics to campers, hot rods to hoopties, Seberg Muffler, your exhaust headquarters since 1974. Armor Road in Burlington in North Kansas City, Missouri.
And now back to the newscast.
You know, that just, it speaks to a vetting process that I believe is so necessary, especially in urban neighborhoods, in terms of, okay, well, there's a new property management company that's coming in to manage these units. And people don't understand that the property management company can make or break a property.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when you've got something like Greenleaf like that, you know, and well, they're not paid a whole heck of a lot of money and they don't get a big budget, but you know, they really need to, you know, they need to take, in my estimation, more care and be a little bit firmer with their screening before they let some of these people in.
No, absolutely. We think the same thing too. And actually back in 2020, when the homicides occurred around there, there were like 7 homicides. And I hate to bring up the other one behind Sheffield Family Life Center when they had the machete, the double murder there.
Is that the dude they dumped on the fire?
Yeah, that's the same one too, yeah.
And he that went back to, I believe, I don't want to get too off topic here, but that went back to like 5200 block Independence.
That's correct.
A couple of homeless guys got into it.
Yeah.
But I've not heard of a, you know, a spate of police calls around that particular facility or that particular property here recently. But you know, we've got a whole host of other issues as a community that we have to deal with.
Yeah. We took the assessment of the homicides and we showed it to the major, Doug Niemeyer, back in the day.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's all about East Patrol. He's all about the neighborhood. He's a great man. And he says, Mark, the neighborhood association is doing well. You guys are just, it's just the homicide is around the neighborhood. It's around the perimeter of the neighborhood where the secluded areas are.
Right.
And he says, you're doing well. It's just around that area. And it happened to be the homeless. It happened to be people from the apartment complex kind of interacting. There's some drug sales there. So we had some concerns about that, about Hardesty. It's a main north-south arterial road. And that's one of our other concerns, too, right there, that we hope the developer that they do the traffic study on the Hardesty and Independence Avenue. That's a lot of traffic up there. Independence Avenue and Hardesty, that intersection's pretty busy.
Even with the realignment that took place, you know, what, 5-10 years ago, it all kind of runs together.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I asked Jonathan Arnold about that in regards to, you know, you're going to put down 800 and some odd units in there. Mm-hmm. What is, you know, how is that going to tax the infrastructure there? And, you know, have you done your traffic studies? And,
yeah,
you know, he responded positively, mm-hmm, and he indicated, mm-hmm, that, you know, it's not going to be that great of an impact.
Yeah.
Because just the work schedules of some of the mm-hmm residents, we're not, mm-hmm, going to be, you know, kind of like an 8-to-5 deal. It's going to be kind of staggered.
Sure.
Because if you're going to cater to the people that work those retail shifts, you know, restaurant shifts, 5 to close or whatever,
yeah,
you know, then you take some of that load off those peak times between 7 and 9 a.m. and 4 to 6 p.m.
Yeah.
So I think he's got it under control. And, mm-hmm, I think as long as he's, mm-hmm, and he's been extremely transparent.
Yeah.
In terms of, hey, and that was one of the things that really impressed me about him was that when I asked him about the project, he said, well, you know, we're a triple bottom line kind of organization. And, you know, we take the feedback from the neighborhood organization. We take that back and then we try to fix or address those concerns and then come back out and say, here's how we responded. What are your thoughts now?
Yeah.
And yeah, you're not going to be able to please everybody. There's always going to be that one guy.
Sure.
But, you know, it's, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. You know, at first, it was during the pandemic and we heard about the meetings, and I've been fortunate to be a community organizer for the last 20 years. And the number one principle is making connections with,
mm-hmm,
people. Got to make connections with people one-on-one, face-to-face, whatever it takes.
Yep.
But we realized at first during the pandemic, it was hard. So we reached out to Jonathan. And we did have a meeting at the library, and then some of our board and our neighbors associate, we did oppose the development. Well, I believe now if Jonathan comes back to us with these answers to, mm-hmm, the problems we have, we would probably be more open-minded. We're just waiting for that opportunity. But yeah, it's just kind of the crime around the neighborhood, the traffic study, you know, the concerns of 12th and Hardesty. Well, that mix up. And a lot of our board members, our neighborhood association, they lived in the neighborhood. They've been there. They've done that. And they remember the challenges of the 23rd Topping, the other low to moderate income neighborhoods. And of course, some of the throwbacks, like me, remember the old Way Miner.
Oh my God.
That, yeah.
That, and what was the other one when I moved in 1990, everybody was, it was Rascot Manor there at 9th and Prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And then, one of the big concerns in terms of, HUD housing was, that's when they were, 94, 95,
mm-hmm,
but when they were going to redo Riverview.
Yes.
And Henry Rizzo, Ronnie DePasco, I mean, you want to talk about Northeast neighborhoods coming together. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a victory for the neighborhoods per se, because the density and the zoning stayed the same, but, you know, they still look good. They were built as temporary housing in 1949. They're still there. I don't call that temporary, but it was an opportunity for the neighborhoods to work together, yeah, on those kind of things. And I think that's what you really need, that I kind of miss, is that, you know, we used to have the Northeast Neighborhoods President's Council,
yeah,
and we met every couple of months to address these kind of concerns. How can we collectively, you know, go at the city, or how can we help the city or be address our concerns with the city? And I don't, you know, these podcasts may be a way to rekindle that organization.
Sure, sure.
So cross my fingers.
Yeah. No, every time you can get all the leaders, everybody together, come up with an answer, a solution. So that's the best way. And one of the other things, we didn't see the KCPD at the table when it came to these planning meetings. That's a big, massive building with a lot of units. And we realized there's not the multi-crime-free housing anymore. We thought KCPD should have been involved there.
Right.
But Jonathan Arnold did say that they would have some security. They would have eyes and ears of people there. But it's such a big massive area, they just got to come up, you know, work together on this. And I just hope everybody going in there does work together.
Yeah.
You know, as far as it could be a hard mix sometimes, low to moderate credit and market rate, but there's plenty of area there to make.
I think they're going to be successful, you know, cross my fingers again.
Yeah. And to your point, as long as that management stays there, they just switch.
Yeah, so it's important. Always a problem for us. So important.
Yes, sir.
And especially, like you said, with, you know, we don't have Old Northeast Incorporated anymore like we used to, and we don't have per se a CAT or a CAN unit like we used to.
Yes, sir.
That would go out and address these. Address these things. And Mike Seward, he was a big one. Mike, could you go do a knock and talk at this unit? Because we're having problems. He'd go do a knock and talk, and lo and behold, it was quiet for a few weeks. And, go back up, do another knock and talk.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
No, you're right. We miss all that. The CDCs, everybody coming together. And it was when I was a community organizer, I worked for Old Northeast. They disbanded. Can't See Neighborhood Alliance. It was a long time.
Larry Washington.
Yes. Yeah, he was great. And then I work with Northland Neighborhood. They're still going.
But they're still going.
CDCs, a lot, majority of them have left us. So.
And I'm just going to throw this out there. If you have, they know where I'm at on this. If you have an effective CIO at your patrol division, and I'm talking specifically about East Zone, if you have an effective CIO, then you can do a whole lot more things than if you don't. Yeah. And that's one area that I think East Patrol needs to buck up and get a couple of guys or get a couple of officers in there that are committed to being CIOs and interacting with the community instead of sitting in the station house and waiting for emails to come in or waiting to retire or waiting to transfer to be a school cop. Yeah. I got problems with that. But anyway, that's
no, I'm absolutely off. I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm way off.
One more comment by KCPD. It is kind of encouraging. We realize you're short staff. They got some challenges going on, but it's good to see the commanders that are at East Patrol.
Sonny. I'm glad he's back.
We've known him since day one when he was doing
undercover. He was a CAN guy. Yep.
He was a CAN guy. He was great. It's good to see him in leadership there.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Hernandez with Central.
Yep.
He's over there too. And our deputy chief, Luis Ortiz, it's great to see him. We got some guys.
Well, Niemeyer's a DP now too.
That's right.
I figured he'd walk when what's her name? When they changed chiefs, but he didn't. Yeah. He's still around. So
yeah, great. No, that all those guys came from the East Patrol. We need that more of that commitment.
Stacy.
Yes.
Stacy Grant. All right, I got to move on. Whatsoever Community Center, Sheffield Place, Sheffield Place just did a big expansion there in the middle of that. And I know that you work very closely with those guys over there.
No, thanks for acknowledging them. Yeah, Sheffield Place, they're a great community-based partner for us. And I'll kind of back up. When we realized we had the homicides back in 2020, we have problems with homeless people experiencing homelessness. We realize some want to transition, some don't. We decided, let's just get involved with the existing shelters that are there. We had one in our neighborhood right there at 12th and Bennington. It was our old YMCA, as you mentioned earlier.
The Norval E.
Yeah.
YMCA. We got ads in the paper for their grand opening back in, what was it, 1982 or something.
Yeah. And I have to mention this too. Back in the day, we're growing up, my five other brothers and three sisters, my mom and dad were pretty smart. They wanted as our friend Ruth Ann Harper always said, a good kid's a tired kid. And my mom and dad followed that model. They would teach us how to swim. We would go to the YMCA with our life jacket. And mom and dad wanted us to come home tired.
There you go.
You know, come home tired. Mm-hmm. And the YMCA, if you could afford a membership, the kids in the neighborhood, they swam there. If they didn't, they went down the hill in the wading pool at Sheffield Park.
Yeah.
So it was very dynamic right there with Whatsoever and then with the old YMCA. We'll get back to Whatsoever, but it was great to see Sheffield Place came in. And again, I took the you know, we just kind of took ownership of everything. We decided to be members of the advisory board members of Sheffield Place. A lot of people from the Neighbor Association help out in many capacities. And then myself, I decided to be an advisory board member. It's the best opportunity I ever had. We were instrumental of having Sheffield Place by the old convent two blocks away at 10th and Newton.
Yep.
Which you guys
covered that expansion. Absolutely. That was, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah.
Something
it was
like
a
that.
Great win-win. 8 units in there. I may have my numbers wrong. And it's a perfect place. We're kind of expanding their little village there. And we hear nothing but good things from the homes, the Sheffield Place homes in Sheffield. Houses are well manicured. They're taken care of. Volunteers are coming in. Sheffield Place goes above and beyond when it comes to getting volunteers and helping out on the grounds with their projects. But they're a great community-based partner. They are a finance committee at Our Lady of Peace back in the day. My parents, Pete Campos, John Stewart, other guys, from the neighborhood, we partnered with Sheffield Place. They bought our convent. And it was kind of a money pit for us at Our Lady of Peace. We were just spending money for this building. It was unoccupied. It was a win-win situation. It got our parish out of death. And then the pandemic came. put us back in there.
And then I just wrote about this here 6 months ago. They just broke ground on their new facility there at what time? 9th and Newton, 10th and Newton?
Yeah, it's 916 Newton. We're so excited about that. They had plans at 12th and Bennington to buy property across the street. There was no bar there. And they had plans to buy it. Sheffield Place went to the county courthouse steps, put money down. They went through the process. The county was supposed to get back with them to let them know if the price was right. Somehow that property slipped out from underneath them.
Somehow.
Yeah. And then Kelly Welch and David Kelly, the executive director, we were talking. She says, Mark, it just wasn't meant to be. It just wasn't meant to be. And then she asked about the vacant lot just north at 916 Newton, where they have the old convent. It just worked out well. One day, right across the street from it, we have an orchard. And I'll get back to the orchard. But we were working in the orchard, and we saw the owner over there. He had a bad tenant, and he was in the process of running them out. And I didn't want to go shame him. I didn't want to give him resources. I just went and plugged Sheffield Place, the convent, how nice it looked. And he says, you must be a godsend because I want to sell this property, the two vacant lots and the building. And it worked out well, Michael. It worked out well.
I've seen before pictures of that house. It wasn't anything to write home about.
Yeah. And just like 3 months ago, it caught on fire. There was a squatter in there. And it caught on fire. But it's such a win-win. And it's going to be a $3.7 million investment. They'll be putting right in there at 10th and Newton. So we're very excited about that.
And then right down the street, I've been there forever and ever and ever, whatsoever community center. I did not realize we did a story the last time that they had sadly, they had some stuff stolen, like $5,000 worth of boxing equipment. Yeah. And the Essig family that runs the McDonald's here at Independence and Hardesty, they really stepped up and they replaced a bunch of stuff with a $5,000 donation. But I did not realize that the Whatsoever Boxing Club, has the pedigree that it does. I know your dad came through that program, and I know Sammy Anch was a referee. If those don't know, Silent Sam, Sam Anch, was a referee also, and was very involved in Golden Gloves. And I actually met, he works out of Chicago now. He's in finance with some big corporation, but he came up through the Whatsoever system, was actually in Mexico at a fighting with, you know, Whatsoever. Or for Whatsoever, got injured, came out, and because of his experience in Whatsoever, he was able to secure scholarships for college, get through school, and he's pulling down six figures now with a Fortune 500 company in Chicago. So how can you look at that?
Yeah.
Look at that as an example, and the example that he can set for other kids in the neighborhood. It came through Wetzlar.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like you said, it's got quite the history. So many boxers have come through there. And Wetzlar Community Center in general, they always provided that outlet for the kids. Mm-hmm. They could have that learning experience, camaraderie with people. But the biggest thing, their sports program, boxing, is to teach kids self-confidence.
Right.
Improve their self-esteem, you know, help them out. But the boxing club, they've done so much all throughout the years. Like you mentioned, scholarships, mm-hmm. through the Golden Gloves. Back in the day, there were so many organized leagues across the street in Sheffield Park. And for numerous reasons, it's just not as active nowadays.
Oh, they had a 3-2 baseball team too, didn't they?
They do. And you know, Michael, I'm glad you brought that up. Growing up in the neighborhood, if your family could afford to play in 3-2 baseball, you did play. And if you could afford it, you played in the OBA, Optimist Baseball Association. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was Lex Weber, Target Saul, Minute Circle. A lot of my mentors coached those teams back in the day. But yeah, there was just so much going on. And it kind of reminds me too, I was in 9th at Van Runt for a meeting about 3 weeks ago. And there was two or three different groups there.
9th and Van Brunt soccer, just so everybody's.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that the soccer complex. And we were there, and it was reminding me back in the day when you have all these organized groups coming together. Everybody wants on the field, on the basketball court, or whatever at the same time. But you have to go to the Parks and Recreation now. You have to get this permit. It's so busy now that it makes my heart feel good that we got soccer going. We got people wanting to play at the same time, so we get it organized.
And you know, talk about 9th of Van Brunt. I love the fact that they finally, I love the fact that at 9th and Van Brunt, finally that drama is starting to cease. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that $3.1 million
yes.
finally get allocated to that space. And they're going to add yeah. two fields, and they've already, to their credit, the Parks Department, pushed $200,000 through to get the field, the main field. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say recarpeted or whatever they call that, resurfaced, yeah. new pitch.
Yeah.
But I think we're on the right track with that in terms of you've got the community involvement board that I know Likens has a seat on. And so that I think that's really going to help.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not going to speak to the Parks Board meeting last week. I got my whole opinion about that. And, but anyway, despite the challenges, you guys seem to be coming through because you've got a new board. You've got a much younger board now, Carly Rose Benjamin, some of the other folks on your board.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a heck of a lot more on social media from Sheffield now,
yeah.
to your credit.
Yeah. No, we're excited. We want the young, dynamic people to help out. We realize, too, a lot of time they got other priorities going on, young families and all, but we would love to get even the parents to have their kids come in. We're so fortunate to meet at the old Catholic school at 10th and Bennington, at the old St. Stephen's school. Mm-hmm. We have a gymnasium there that we could have the parents come in, their kids could be, we could be in a classroom, the kids could be inside the gymnasium. Or we could do the same over at the Wetzlar Community Center.
Right.
The kids could be in the gymnasium. So we're hoping to do that now. And then with myself, personally, I just retired from my day job. Hopefully, I'll be a better neighborhood president. I can make these one-on-one connections.
Oh, that was going to be a big mistake there.
And get some of these younger families.
Well, thinking from the Ruth Ann Harper, I retired, now I'm going to have more time handbook. That's a laugh.
That is true.
Tell us a little bit about, we're up against the clock in terms of time. Tell us a little bit about how people can get in touch with you, your social media, your website, and when are your monthly meetings, first of all?
Okay. We are the fourth Monday of the month
okay.
at 7 p.m. at 1001 Bennington Avenue.
And that's St. Steve's?
Yes, St. Stephen's, old St. Stephen's School.
Okay. And then your social media, how can we people get a hold of you digitally?
Sure. Thanks, Carly, for form of the Facebook. It's the official Sheffield Neighborhood Association on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yeah.
And anything on Instagram or Twitter?
No, hopefully these younger, dynamic people coming in can take it from there.
TikTok, yeah. OnlyFans, whatever.
And I'm glad you said that because we do have a lot of good things going on in the neighborhood. and back to 10th and Newton, where Sheffield Place has the incoming building, the 60 building. We have our orchard right across the street. We have 15 apple trees and pear trees. We've expanded that area a little more, but we do need some help. We actually don't own the area. Land Bank owns it.
Right.
So if anybody can help the Sheffield neighborhood go in the right direction where we could get this land bank lot purchased, you know, we're looking to do that. But there's extra land there. We could incorporate an assembly area there, place we have our neighborhood meetings. We want to build a little wall on the east side so we can expand our area, a little cut and fill.
There you go.
So we're going to start reaching out for more grants. But a good thing about it, again, it's right across the street from Sheffield Place, and the women and their children can go into the orchard, learn that apples do not come from a grocery store. They come from a tree.
Are your trees bearing fruit now?
They are. They okay. are. And then again, I should have got out there and trimmed a little more, but they are bearing fruit. And we have some Asian pears there. And then we have the apple trees too. I forget what those are. So
either way, they're bearing fruit.
That is true. Yeah.
And it's and kind of like Sheffield Neighborhood Association in general. You're starting to bear fruit from all your effort. Mark, thank you very much for joining us this week. We really appreciate it. Tell us again what your Facebook page is.
It's the Official Sheffield Neighborhood Association.
And your meetings are when?
The fourth Monday of the month at 7 p.m.
Folks, if you'd like to get involved in the Sheffield Neighborhood Association, get in touch with Mark Morales. He is the president, or Carly Rose Benjamin, or any number of their board folks. And get involved in a neighborhood organization. Mark, thank you very much for coming by this week.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Appreciate it.
This episode was made possible by Shemeika's Online Market in Delhi.